Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay. Welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make, you can always, send me an email at bonkay@AOL.com. That's bonkaye@AOL.com. First, I'd just like to mention that I'm really excited about our new book that will be coming out hopefully by the beginning of the year. And it's about letters to our gay ex-husbands. A lot of times there are a lot of things you want to say to them and never had a chance to. And this will be a compilation of letters from women who are part of our network. And anybody else who wants to participate, as far as getting through your feelings about what this marriage has done to you. I think a lot of times people minimize our pain. Once again, we're thrown back into the closet when our husbands come out. They're celebrated, we're negated, and it makes us even feel worse because now it's a double whammy. Not only do we have to live through this pain, but now people minimize our pain and celebrate the coming out of our husbands. So we want to let people know, not just our ex-husbands, but people who will read this book, the pain and suffering that we've gone through. And it's also talking about celebrating our survival and how we did it. So it will have an up tone to it as well. It's not just everything horrible, just everything horrible that was done to us. So if you're interested in participating, please send me an email at bonkay@AOL.com. That's bonkay@AOL.com. So tonight I would like to introduce my guest. And before I do, I just want to mention a couple little points here. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to have on several guests that have similar backgrounds and stories when it means growing up in an abusive family. and what the results are from that. And we've talked about this with our special guests that have been on here, like Dr. Feelstad and Heather Nunez. We talk about how when you come from dysfunction, when you walk into dysfunction, you don't even realize it's dysfunction because that's what all you know, and how it influences your choices. So we'll be talking about that, you know, in the upcoming weeks, and I'm really excited to have one of our new members of the group, Christiana, join us tonight. Christiana, thank you so much for coming.
Hi, Bonnie. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you won my heart over from the first time I spoke to you, Christiana. You know, I was just so impressed with all your going, with how you're handling all you're going through. And so
thank
feeling
you.
So bad for you because of what you're going through. And, you know, I'm sure that people have said to you, how could your husband possibly be gay? Look at all the children you have. Do they tell you that?
Right. Right. That's one of the biggest things that I struggled with, trying to tell my story and speak out against what had happened to me, is that people just didn't want to believe me, and they just didn't think it was possible, especially because we had so many children. And they, you know, really, truly, it wasn't until I was really able to make somewhat of a cultural reference with Caitlyn Jenner and kind of, you know, starting to, you know, relate things that people kind of knew about and knew as far as even in the media, and using that as far as showing that it is a very real thing and that this happens every day to everyday women.
Yes, and I think that people have a misconception because most of the women in our group have children. One other member of our group has 7 children, and her husband is very, you know, gay. I mean, he's out and open now. So people say, well, how can it be gay if he has so many children? Because, first of all, a sexual act is a sexual act. It's not like making love to someone, right?
Right.
And it can be over in 30 seconds or less. And you can get pregnant. And so it just hurts me when people feel that way.
Well, especially when you're not engaging with somebody if for long periods of time, it even more so increases the risk of pregnancy. And, you know, when I had people questioning me, and I was just saying, you know, I am a healthy young woman who is in a monogamous relationship with somebody who, you know, I've known since my younger years and supposed to trust them. And, you know, this was supposed to be okay. But also,
so
too,
I'm going to start at the end and then we'll work back to the beginning. Because what I admire so much is that Christiana, she's juggling 7 children, you know, 5 of which belong to her gay husband. And 5 that belong to the gay husband are how old?
So the 5, the oldest is almost 12, so that's a girl. And her name is Logan. And then there's an 8-year-old girl. Her name is Tyler. And then there's 3 little boys back to back. There's Grayson, who's 4, Mason, who's 3, and Noah is the baby, and he's 18 months.
Right. So there's all these little children there that you have to handle, and he walked away and left you virtually with nothing. And you've been depending on, you know, trying to get assistance from wherever you can get it because you have 5 little children there. And it's impossible to go to work at this point in time for you.
Right.
Right?
Right. It would almost, at this point, cost me money to go to work.
Mm-hmm. So she will be getting some assistance, but, you know, the needs are always great. So if you can help out Christiana at the end of this broadcast, if you can email me at bonk@aol.com, help her out as far as clothing, because children, they grow up out of clothes so quickly. So if you have clothing you're not using that are in good shape, any kind of, you know, if she really needs money for diapers, anything like that, just email me and I'll be happy to set you up, you know, to do something to help this family. Because it really breaks my heart.
Thank you so much.
It really does break my heart when I think about it all the time. How you can be left. I mean, I was left with 2 children. I had a hard enough time surviving. To be left with, you know, all these children and walk away and not turn back, really hard. So we're going to talk a little bit first. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's part of, I think, what can keep women in these relationships longer than they want to be. I know for me personally was the fact that he knew that I loved my children. He knew that I'm a good mom, and he very much so used that against me and manipulated that in me as something that, you know, I did love and that I did want to serve my children in that way. And, you know, and it's, so it's just, it's another tactic that they use, you know, kind of, you're never going to make it without me, and see how you do without me, and, you know, kind of spinning it all about them, so.
Right, and you become codependent sometimes in those situations. I know I was, you know, because 100%. I just felt I had no control over anything. So I never felt I could make it on my own. You know, so I stayed, you know, longer than I wanted to, for sure. But if we go back and we talk about your early childhood, you know, would you like to tell people a little bit about that?
So I was raised in an abusive household, as far as my mother had left my father at a very early age, and she had gotten into a relationship with my stepfather, who was sexually abusive and physically abusive to my brother and I. And I guess what my takeaway from that is watching my mom navigate that experience is that I saw a lot of fear in her, not wanting to leave the situation, not being willing to leave this man, being scared she could never make it on her own. And so she allowed the abuse to continue and progress. And, you know, it caused a lot of damage.
And then what happened? After the marriage to your father.
So she is still currently married to this man.
Okay.
So, which is also more the reason that I had it in with me to, I wanted to be a chain breaker. I grew up seeing a woman who was so scared of this man who I really saw as weak. And so I saw he used a lot of tactics. He used a lot of financial abuse. He used a lot of social abuse and positioning. And it even more so encouraged me to be that person in my family that said, I will not allow this to continue. I will not give this example to my daughters. And I will, no matter what it takes, regardless if I have a penny to my name, which I have not at times. And, you know, but the message that it sends, you know, is that, you know, money does come and go, and we've been very blessed in gifts and grants and things. And so it's such a good message, though, as far as what it sends to the children, you know, as far as leaving.
Absolutely true. So you got involved at an early age as a father of your first two children, right?
Yes.
You were what, 18?
I was 18. This man was about twice my age. So I was very quick to go into a situation of codependency, very much so seeking a parental figure of some sort. And I got into a situation where I thought, you know, well, I guess this is it. And, you know, in order to have some stability, I'll sign up for this, and quickly realized that, you know, that it was a very unhealthy situation, very emotionally abusive, and so thankfully I was able to leave.
And at that point, that's when you met up with your husband, right?
Yes, at this point,
I met Adam again.
Right. I had met Adam early on in my teen years. He very much so befriended me, was very kind, came across as a very benign friend, very much so played on the fact that he was not interested in me sexually, that he had the ultimate of respect. And so when I got out of the situation with my young two children, they were 6 months old and about a year and a half old at this time. And he was able to kind of come in at a very vulnerable state and kind of pick up and say, here I am, and it's me, and, you know, I'm the one you've been looking for, and I'm the one that's probably going to only be able to love you after where you've been. And
Okay, so let's go back to this also. You had mentioned to me when you were in high school and you knew Adam that people had told you that he was gay.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, that was the immediate impression that I had gotten of him, that he was gay, that people he hung around with thought that he was also gay. He wasn't somebody who outright came out and was saying it himself, but it very much so was just kind of an unspoken fact about him.
Mm-hmm. So when you meet up with him now that you have the two little children, two little babies, and he's offering to come take care of you, take care of your children, was there any thoughts in your mind he might be gay, or did you ask him?
Oh, Bonnie, you can imagine my bewilderment. I mean, you know, here I had sworn by it that he was gay, mind you, the fact that, like I said, he was also a friend. So at this time, you know, it was a very, very vulnerable time for me. I was young. I was 21 years old. So for him mm-hmm. to kind of come alongside me and spin a different narrative, which at the time I was very willing to believe that he had very much so cared about me, and that it wasn't that he was gay. It was just that he was a very respectful person, and you know, the web of lies that begins. And you know, there was an extreme phase of love bombing from him that came in as I'm not gay, and here's how I'm going to prove it to you situation. So, you know, and you're, mm-hmm. I was very young and impressionable, and I hadn't had experience other than my children's father. So I think they target that, Bonnie.
Yes, this was a long time ago, and there wasn't a lot of information that was out there on this whole subject matter. And so just
Bonnie,
so you should understand this clearly, Christiana, when I was told that my husband or ex-husband was gay or bisexual, whatever you, either way, and I went to him and he denied it, I was so happy, because why would I think a gay man would even want to marry me? And I'm sure you felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If he were gay, why would he be marrying you?
Right. I'll even say in 2019, when I finally put my nose to the grind and decided it was time to get out and fight my way out, I'll tell you that you were one of, I will say, maybe three resources that I was able to find. And this is 3 years ago. You were one of the few and only resources that I was able to find with any sort of relevant, real-life, conversational information saying, you know, if you see this, this is what this is. And I had spent so many years in such confusion, and, you know, it's certainly not a dinner table topic.
Not only that, but people really don't understand it, and especially like you have five children with him. I can only imagine how people, because I know they do it with other people. You mean he's gay? If he's gay, how is it that you have five children? Gay people can't have sex with straight people. So
right.
Let's clear that myth up. They can have sex with you. It doesn't mean it's going to be great sex. It's not making love to you. But they can do something that feels like sex,
well, it's
right?
It's a very mechanical situation. If anything, it was very much so used as a weapon. Sex was used mm-hmm. as a weapon against me, as far as whether it was, you know, emotional anorexia from the aspect of I will have access to you when I want, how I want. It was just used as another weapon that he could use against me, because like I said, I was committed to a monogamous relationship and the family and the whole nine yards. So again, it was something that he used as a tool.
How did he interact with your children?
The children were there for a facade. They were used as part of the story. It was part of the narrative. It was part of his, I am straight and can't you tell, by Christiana and by the children. And no one knew how it was coming about or what was going on behind closed doors. And certainly if I wanted to speak to them, they, like you said, they didn't want to listen. And I've told you before, I do believe in the age of information, ignorance is a choice that people make. And you can see that especially in our arena, that people choose to, I don't want to talk about that or acknowledge that. And that is how it is.
Mm-hmm. And this is not really something that you can go around telling people right away. But when you would, did you tell anybody, your friends or family?
From the very time where I started to really validate my own beliefs, and that was the whole thing, is I questioned myself. And because I had uh-huh. that root belief that he was gay, you know, after a couple years of trying to play this story and continuing to mix the recipe and it coming out in a way that I couldn't understand. And, you know, like you talk about in your books, here I am as a young mother. I'm a young wife. I'm trying to do everything from fold the laundry in thirds to find a different way to cook in the crock pot to keep a schedule from, you know, and I wasn't understanding what was the problem. And when I would continuously confront him that it was because he was gay, obviously this would cause a very aggressive response in him, you know, as they do, to cause a deterrent, to control what is mm-hmm. and is not to be talked about.
Mm-hmm. So when you had this whole breakaway, when he left, mm-hmm. how did he do it?
So I actually say that COVID saved me and my family. And the reason that I say that is because we were in such a series of evictions and homelessness that we would get into a place of residency and then he would disappear for weeks at a time. He would tell me that he didn't have any money. There would be just whatever hardships come up and we would get evicted. And I went through a series of moves and eviction and even homelessness during my pregnancies and in hotels. And during COVID, thankfully, the landlord was more than gracious to allow me some extra time, you know, without having the financial means that normally it would require. And so there, uh-huh. with that grace, it allowed me to make a series of small steps. And that's what had done it, because, Bonnie, I actually had tried to leave about 7 times before this. And, you know, each time it was getting out there and I don't qualify for this, or my credit score, no, I don't have the money for a down payment and a security deposit. It was always comes back to financial and I can't make it. So it did actually allow me to make a series of small gains that in the end, you know, and I had help from one very special grandma friend of mine who was such a blessing. She's 71 from Georgia, and she, all the way from Georgia, she would, you know, send me a little bit of money or help me with this. And so, you know, with just little things like that, finally I was able to get into a spot where I said, you're not doing this to us anymore, and I'm done. Mm-hmm. So, Bonnie, I don't believe
you.
He would have ever left.
Yeah. I know. I've been there, too. Mine left because he was angry at me, but he came back a week later. But it was just that mm-hmm. 1 week I needed just to get strong to say, you're not coming back. Mm-hmm. Because the worst thing is living in an environment where you always feel like you're walking on eggshells, right?
Right.
But at any time, you're going to crush them, and, you know, they'll start yelling and screaming and blaming you for things that has nothing to do with you. And that's what they do.
The best part about your book that really spoke to me was when you said, stop waiting for them to admit to you and agree with you. And that's part of what I was doing as a true friend to Adam. I mean, here I was really learning how to love somebody without receiving anything in return and against all odds, and really trying to figure out, okay, how can I do this, or how could I make this easy? And at some point I realized that at the expense of who? at the expense of me and my children. And I wasn't willing to pay that cost because the price got very high. And I contemplated suicide, and there was a time where I didn't know if I could continue taking care of the children, and I wasn't willing to pay that cost for him anymore. And so, you know, I think that that's what it took for me.
Do you feel you lost yourself in that marriage? Because I really felt that way. I just didn't know who I was anymore. You know, I was functioning and I was existing, but I wasn't living. Did you ever feel like that?
I feel like instead of being lost, I feel like more so that we're always creating ourselves on some level. And I feel that what I was trying to create was a family and a marriage and all of these things that were very good things. And the qualities that I had and the things that I brought to the relationship were all excellent things, but it was with the wrong person. And so what happened is that I actually stopped believing in myself, and I stopped having confidence for myself. And I, because I wasn't able to get that admission from him, and because it became very volatile to even approach that with him, I began to internalize a lot of it and attack myself. And, you know, and that manifested in many different ways, in my eating habits, in the way that I interacted socially. I became extremely isolated. And and then I think once you get in that place, you lose a sense of reflection, because all you're seeing is, in some sense, this person who is reflecting somebody that they don't want to be. And so you take so much of that on yourself, and it can be such a spiraling place to be.
It's really true, and that's where I think that you start losing yourself, because you have to create something to survive in. You have to create a special world for yourself so you can get by each day. I think that I do want to mention, you mentioned the suicide, that you felt like suicidal. I think a number of us have been. I'm the first to say I did. I think I attempted it twice and just missed. And that's how bad it gets, where you have no perspective left, where you can't see that there's a silver lining to anything, where you're just so beaten down that you just don't feel that it's worth living. And, you know, of course, you know, this happened before I had children, but that's how I felt. And yet I still continued to stay, because I was always hoping it was going to get better. You know, when you love someone, you're always hoping that things will improve, things will get better, and they don't. They just get worse.
Well, not to mention the gaslighting that's intertwined with our hopes and our dreams. You know, half the time he was, you know, telling me that what I thought I didn't really think, and, you know, I consider myself a very highly educated, perceptive person, and, you know, but when you are isolated and when you only get so much feedback, and, you know, you're a mom and you're dedicating your life, and, you know, it does very much so distort those beautiful things in you, and they're manipulated by this person, and they were very much so manipulated in me. And I know for me, when it got to the place where I wondered if I took my own life, would he care? And when I was able to answer that question for myself, that the answer was no, I think that's when I really started realizing that I wanted to heal no matter if he cared or not, and that it was important enough for me and my kids to have a better life, you know, and have the best life that we could.
And that's the most important part, is that you were able to realize that with him you were never going to have it. And I said, you know, for me, it was so much better to struggle without him than it was to struggle with him. It was a different kind of struggle. I had to financially struggle, but I didn't have to emotionally struggle. When I was with him, I had emotionally struggle and financially struggle, because he gave me nothing. So I was living on nothing. He had all control over everything. So I was no worse off. I was so much better off. But it was a scary chance to have to take. And like you, I had no resources. You know, I was left with two little babies, a sick child, in and out of the hospital. No car, no telephone, nothing. He took everything and left me $50 on the table. And, you know, with no remorse, no checking in on us that week, not how's everything going. Well, we didn't have a telephone anyway, but because he had it shut off. But the point is this, you know, I had to make a decision then that if he came back, which I had a feeling he might, I could either take him back and have that, you know, a little bit of financial security and still live in hell, or I could just have a good, better life and just, you know, do something with my finances. And
yes.
I think a lot of times I feel so stuck. And I understand it because I had to turn to public assistance. I had no marketable skills at that point. I only had a high school equivalency, you know, on paper, but I didn't have any real marketable skills. So, and I had a child running back and forth to the hospital. There was no way I could possibly work. I was so mentally beaten down that I couldn't focus on anything. So I turned to the public assistance for 3 years. And that was the only way I survived. And then I started doing some work under the table because you can't survive just on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is this. You're so beaten down, but yet, as little as you have, it's still better than having a lot and living with them, right?
It's worth everything, and especially when everything has been whittled down to next to nothing. And, you know, you really have to decide if you're willing to take that risk. You know, everything is a risk. And so, but when it comes down to here, life, it's the life of your children. In my situation, it was my mental sanity. It was my health. It started to become, I mean, it had bled everywhere into my life. So, you know, when it comes down to choosing your life, I think that, you know, those instincts kick in. And, I am a true believer in God because, you know, that is truly what has got me through this situation is having that bigger thing to believe in.
Christiana, do the kids ask where their dad is?
They don't ask for him anymore. It's sad in a way that almost they expect him to be who he is. And it's such a childlike innocence that, you know, they know that he doesn't come around. They know that he's not reliable. They know that he's not dependable, you know. And I've told him, you know, you have one shot at being a father, of being a dad. And, you know, those moments are what's going to determine, you know, high school graduations and your place at weddings and the future going on. And so, you know, those are very choices that he's making right now. And so I guess the best thing that I've learned from this is to separate myself from that and try to stay as present as I can with the kids, you know, day to day, and keep our lives, you know, in the moment, what's going on with us, and celebrate our small victories and blessings that happen, and, you know, just make it about everybody who's showing up and what our family really is. And so that's been great.
The oldest one was 12, right, of his children?
Adam's oldest daughter, yes, she's 12.
Mm-hmm. So was she close with him at all or no?
She was the closest, and he very much so you know, treated her as a trophy child, and this was the child to signify his heterosexuality, and very much so used as a pawn. I saw a lot of his behaviors towards me start to trickle down towards her, where he was becoming very needy with her and very having her kind of take care of him in a way. It just wasn't a healthy situation, Bonnie.
Mm-hmm. And the next one, is after the 12-year-old, is how old?
The younger one is 8. She's a third grader this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've got to say, as far as the kids missing him, they don't miss the chaos. They don't miss the screaming. They don't miss mom crying at night, not understanding why, or mom being emotionally unavailable to where I didn't want to play outside or I didn't want to read a book or I wasn't able to. I didn't, you know, at the end of the day, I didn't have any of that to give. So, you know, when you ask if they miss them, it's so relative because truly they are so thankful for having this better life, for having peace, for having happiness, and, mm-hmm. you know, things that are easily taken for granted in other situations. But, you know, it's very good.
Well, that's really important. You know, they feel the stability with you and that, you know, they feel very connected to other family members in your family as a family, even though he's not there. I know that has
yeah.
to be a hard adjustment for the family too, right?
Well, I think that because we grew up with so much of this situation with Adam causing so much instability and unpredictable, you know, I say he was predictably unpredictable. It was always something, or at every single holiday or a birthday, there was always something that came up that caused such destruction, whether it was emotional or financial. So, you know, it's actually been good to really stand up and say, you know what, this is what a family should be, and this is what a family looks like. And if it only has one mom and kids, or if it has an auntie and a mom and kids, or if it has a grandma that comes and visits every couple of weeks, is that, you know, the family can be, it can look so many different ways. And I think especially with the kids of these parents, it's good to let them know that family can be in different ways with different people, and it can be a good situation.
I think that's amazing advice. Once again, for people who are listening, this is going to be a long haul for Christiana. It's not going to be over in a week or a month or a year. You know, raising children is very difficult, and she has many of them to raise. So if you feel you can help in any way, don't forget to notify me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. I feel it's important that we have to help our own because nobody else is really helping us and nobody understands us. Nobody understands the straight wife like other straight wives do. And nor do they understand the struggle and having to put everything together and trying to keep everything together. And I know it's only been, you know, a number of months since this all, you know, fell apart, where he left and left you with nothing and just trying to scramble to make ends meet, to have enough to buy diapers, have enough for food. So I know you're using every resource you can possibly get, but that doesn't mean it's still enough. And especially kids, they grow out of clothes so fast. And that's
yes.
why if you have any, you know, clothes from your children, you know, just send me a note, bonkay@aol.com. And I'll send you all the information you need to get them to Christiana. Christiana, you're such a strong woman, and I really admire so much of what you said tonight because you're not bitter, you're not angry. You know, you feel like you're pushing ahead, you're not looking back, you're just moving forward, right?
Yes, thank you so much. And I just want to give a special thanks to our support sisters who have come alongside me during this time, and for the gifts and for the notes of encouragement. It has made such a difference and a difference in the kids' lives. So I just wanted to give a special thank you as well.
Yeah, we have the best women in our group, don't we?
We
you
really
know,
do. It's
wonderful women.
There's nothing like it.
I'm really so fortunate that I've been able to find all these wonderful women and that they've become a family and helpers of themselves, you know, for other people who are in our group. I think, once again, when you feel like you're doing this alone, it's very scary when you don't have any support. Before you came to our group, you really didn't have much support, right?
No, I didn't. And aside from the church, where you can imagine this issue is somewhat not talked about, this is the first group I have ever been able to speak freely and openly and also to be understood. You know, to know another person, but to be understood, as the quote says, is profound. And so, Bonnie, thank you. As I've told you, you are a pioneer for all of us women during this time of our lives. And if it weren't for you and all your hard work and sacrifice, we wouldn't be here today with the blessings that we have. So thank you as well for all that you do.
I'm really, you know, happy that I can do it. It's been a long haul, like 40 years. And I've seen so many sad stories and women whose lives were horribly down the drain because they were living, like you say, being gaslighted. I call it gay-lighted, you know, where they thought that they were the ones who were crazy when it had nothing to do with them at all. And there was just nobody out there telling the real truth. And a lot of times people want to make you think it's okay to have this in your marriage. You know, it's more important to keep your family together. No, it's not. It's more important that you do the right thing and put your family back together rather than stay together, because these families are so dysfunctional. And I think maybe you can agree, when you grow up with dysfunction, you just keep moving along into dysfunction. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. It's a generational pattern. It's until somebody is willing to stand up and say, no more, not mine, and as for me and mine. And so I'm happy to be that person in my family.
I'm really happy you are, too.
Thank you so much, Bonnie,
for coming to our show, Christiane, and sharing your story. And if you don't mind, we'll have you come back in a few months and you give us an update. How would that be?
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
Mine too. You're really a wonderful guest. And I just want to let people know for the next couple of weeks, we'll be having other stories that are compelling as people talk about the hardships that they're going through because of the gay husband. And then next month, sometime, I'm going to have Donna Anderson from lovefraud.com, who's wonderful. You know, she can talk about every kind of personality disorder in the world. All of her material, she's highly recognized throughout the nation as being an expert on this. You can start checking out her website now at Donna Anders at lovefraud.com, and you'll see Donna's picture there, and she'll be our guest in October. And also my good friend Mike from California, he'll be coming back too. He's a detective agency, and he'll be giving us some good tips on how to catch your husband cheating on you. So I hope everybody has a wonderful week. Christiane, I will be in touch with you soon. Thank you so much, sweetie. You know I love you. You're wonderful.
Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.